Building passive income and wealth through real estate is sponsored by our company, Perpetual Wealth Capital, where we help everyday people just like you build generational wealth and cash flow by passively investing in the very best multifamily opportunities. Download our free ebook, The Definitive Guide to Building Generational Wealth and Passive Cash Flow Through Multifamily Real Estate, by either clicking the link in the show notes or visiting thedefinitiveguidebook.com. Hey investors, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Building Passive Income and Wealth Through Real Estate. Today we have Whitney Sewell. Now, Whitney is an apartment syndicator and host of the wildly successful podcast, The Real Estate Syndication Show, the most popular daily podcast in our industry. Whitney has over the last 4 years acquired over $300 million in real estate with his company, LifeBridge Capital, and went from raising $250,000 on his first deal over a couple of weeks to now being able to raise tens of millions of dollars in just a few hours. Whitney, we're super excited to have you here, and thanks so much for coming on the show.
I'm honored to be here, Justin. Thank you for the opportunity.
Of course. So Whitney, tell us, you know, for the listeners who maybe haven't listened to your podcast just yet, tell us a little bit about your background. You have a pretty wild and unconventional story. Do you mind sharing that with our listeners?
Of course. Thanks for asking. And I go back to a few details that I think are crucial that helped me to become an entrepreneur, or helps me in my journey as an entrepreneur now. In March of 2001, Justin, I joined the military. And of course, that was 6 months before our nation was attacked. I had no idea that I would be spending a year of my life in Iraq very soon after that, toting around a machine gun, praying every day I get to go home. I didn't see any of that coming, but I was thankful to serve. And unfortunately, not everyone in my squad made it home. So crazy times there. I'm thankful the Lord allowed me to come home safely. But the one thing the military taught me was to have a never give up mentality. And that, it's been crucial. As an entrepreneur, you have to be able to keep going, right? And in combat, obviously, it's crucial. You can't give up. It's not an option. And other people's lives are depending on you to perform, right? And much less your own life is dependent on you to perform in a big way. So I spent a year overseas, and then I came home from Iraq and I had no college. So I almost felt helpless. I felt like, what can I do? Like, I was raised to think that I had to have that college degree to be able to really go have some kind of great job, right? That was just the way I was raised, to be able to do those things. So I did not think that way. Get the education, you get a good job, hey, then you're set, right? You got good benefits, you'll retire someday, something like that. And so I was a shoo-in though for becoming a police officer. I had a couple of years of active duty, and I thought, okay, I love service. I love the structure, the discipline, the uniform, and just helping other people. Policing seemed like a great path. 1,200 applicants with only 5 positions. I was hired as one of those 5 with Kentucky State Police. Wow. I was blessed to have that position. Loved working the road as a police officer. However, about that same time period, I got married and realized that, you know what, my wife and I were just passing each other in the hallway, and that guys were retiring, making from say $35,000 to $40,000 a year, even after like 25 to 30 years of service. And wow. So I was like, okay, wait a minute. This is just not what is best. I had to think of some other way to do something else. And so I started searching ways to supplement my income. We wanted my wife to be able to stay at home when we had children. And it was going to be difficult to do on say $28,000 to $30,000 a year, working the worst schedule you can imagine, right? But in came real estate. This makes so much sense, right? I could buy a few rentals. I could have a few extra $100 a month coming in. Chelsea, my wife, could stay at home when we had children. Maybe that's an option now. Quickly, we bought 2 triplexes, made a ton of mistakes, and just learned so much the hard way. We were remodeling a house at the same time that our first house while living in it, which I would not recommend. And unfortunately, my poor bride was washing dishes in the bathtub a lot longer than I would have liked to admit. We learned a lot and definitely became a lot stronger because of that experience. Self-managing those apartments, getting this house going. Then I also became a federal agent. And that moved us to Virginia, where we live now. So that increased my salary, better benefits, better schedule, all those things. However, at the same time, it was a passion of mine since I was a little boy. And this seems like from way out in left field, but I was a professional horse trainer. So I started training horses and it became very easy to me. All of a sudden, I'm teaching people all over the country. I'm doing clinics, really growing, scaling that business and that brand while still being a federal agent. At the same time, I was pushing real estate a little bit. I bought a 15 unit, believe it or not, you know, with another partner. from one end to the other. It was 80 to 100 hours a week. It was all we could do to make it happen. But I was missing everything with my boys. I had two boys at the time then, and my wife, Chelsea. I mean, it just wasn't what was best. So finally, one fall, my wife and I were walking on the beach, and this is like September timeframe. And we were just reflecting on what we're doing. Is it going to get us where we want to go? Thinking 3 years out, 5 years out.
Absolutely.
And it was obvious, Justin, that it wasn't going to do it. Like, I could not keep up that pace forever. And I was missing everything with the family. So it just wasn't worth it either. Yep. Right. So we made a decision then that we had to make some big steps. We had the house, the farm we'd always dreamed of. And again, this is September timeframe, but we decided we had to sell everything and just be completely committed to commercial real estate. I was just exposed to the syndication business and a commercial real estate. And if you had asked me before that about buying a 100-unit complex, I would have said, you're crazy, right? I just would never have believed it. I thought, okay, those guys have probably been in real estate 20, 30 years before you can do something like that, right?
Yeah.
But at that point, we did. We sold the farm. We moved out of that house then between Christmas and New Year's, which I also would not recommend, but we did. We sold very fast. We moved into a small house in not the best area of town. I built an office in the basement, and that's practically where I lived the next 2.5 years. And it was just madness. I would travel 2 to 3 weekends a month to conferences, and 2 days a month, I was off from my federal position, DOT federal position. And my team then knew that I needed to record 12 to 15 interviews a day. And so it just the way I had to do it to get it all done. And it was just madness, to say the least, to keep up during that time. My boys knew they wouldn't see me till Sunday, even though I was in the house. My wife would pack lunch for me to go to the basement. But we did it. The Lord sustained us. I mean, we can't explain it, but my wife did everything in the house. If she hadn't been behind me 100%, we couldn't have done it. But soon after that, found my business. I hired a mentor in that time, found a business partner. We started buying deals. Our first project was $30 million, which is not common.
No, absolutely. I love the story. And that is so relevant to what a lot of people feel before they get in the business, right? Should I start off buying 1 or 2 homes, or are my dreams to be really free too large? Do I need to be there for 20, 30 years? And then a lot of people go through that route that you had, right? They call it the golden handcuffs, right? Okay, well, I just got a promotion. Let me put off real estate, or let me put off investing for a little bit, do this for a year. I got better benefits now. So I really love your story. And the first time I heard, I knew that that's when we needed to get connected. And a lot of people kind of go through that. You really went all in very, very quickly. Tell me about what was going on. How did that change the dynamic of you? Because a big part of this business is getting your spouse or partner or family or somebody on board to be your team, because it's extraordinarily difficult to do this alone for very long, right? And so it's not like you had your spouse on board with you pretty quickly. How did that go? Was there an uphill battle there? Were you both on board right from the start? Because that's a huge component that a lot of people, unfortunately, kind of get wrong in the beginning of it.
That is a great question. It's a great question because you don't hear people talk about it very often, right? About their spouse and about how they handled that, because it is so crucially important that they are with you in this, or you're just not going to make it. And I would always say your marriage is so much more important than any business. I'll go work at McDonald's every day if it means having a happy marriage. Your business is not worth more than your marriage. But when you and your spouse can be together on that decision to move forward in this type of thing, it is such a completely different game at that point. I mean, you have a teammate then that is helping you in ways that you don't even know you're going to need help yet. Okay. You know, when you're first getting started. But I'll tell you something that helped us in a big way. When we moved to Virginia, that first weekend, actually, we were listening to a pastor talk about how they had adopted and how there were 150 million orphans in the world, how it can cost $40,000 to $60,000 to bring a child home through adoption. We grew up in a one-stoplight town. We had never discussed adoption before. We were still kind of newly married at this time. I didn't know anybody that was adopted, never even thought about it. But on our way home, Chelsea and I were just like, well, why would we not adopt? I mean, it just seemed like the right thing to do. And I'm so thankful now to our ignorance of the process, because the process is horrible. However, it's worth every bit of it to bring your child home. So within a week, we turned in our application to adopt from Ethiopia. 2 years later, our first son, Samuel, came home through adoption. A year later, our second son, Elijah, came home through adoption. And now we have a daughter as well that came to our family through adoption. That's 2.5, Eden Joy. You know, our family has been so blessed through adoption. We struggled in a massive way the first 2 adoptions to be able to afford to make it happen. We had to raise so much money. The Lord provided every penny that we needed. But it's such a struggle, right? And it keeps so many families from adopting. I mean, we were just feeling it in the middle of it. But when we started this business, we committed that a half of our personal profits to a foundation we were starting to help families financially bring their child home through adoption. Your question about getting your spouse on board, Chelsea, my wife couldn't care less about real estate. I could have some other kind of business and it wouldn't matter. I have no doubt she would be supporting me 110% if I was some kind of farmer versus what I'm doing now. However, that mission, she is behind 110% as well. And so when she sees us succeeding in our real estate business and her supporting me, man, she is supporting that mission as well. We've partnered with 7 or 8 families now, I think, to help them in a big way financially to bring their child home. And we're seeing our first few children come home as well. Something that's bigger than a monetary goal, Justin, is so important to get your spouse on board. But not only your spouse, and when you're in the thick of it, especially if you're doing a daily podcast, if you're that crazy, you're going to need something bigger because you're going to be so occupied, especially for a while, that it's not only your spouse getting on board, but also your children. And I underestimated how much my wife and my children had, you know, like the commitment level it was going to take from them as well to make it happen. But then also your team. And even bigger than that, guess what? Your investors. When you have something bigger than just monetary goals, even for your investors, it is a very different conversation. And we're happy to talk about it. But when you're talking about raising money, that has changed everything for me.
From the sounds of things, I mean, from switching and selling everything off and diving both feet into real estate to deciding, it sounds like somewhat quickly that we want to go the adoption route. It sounds like you and your wife definitely jump in with both feet at everything that you guys do. So that's fantastic. You touched on a few things that I definitely want to talk about. And one of those is really building where your company is now from where you started. You talk about being in the basement and then you're doing back-to-back-to-back-to-back interviews. You had the platform, which was the podcast. Was that how you scaled that so rapidly? You are really known in this industry for scaling very, very quickly. Talk to us about that. Was the podcast a huge part of it? Was it the support that you got from everybody around you? How did you accomplish what so few people honestly do over a much, much even longer period of time?
Great question. And I would say yes, yes, and yes. I mean, the podcast and the support from lots of people, all those things, but even lots of those relationships came from the podcast. People that have supported me and helped me, you know, our team. And there's two different people in our industry that everybody listening would probably know. And I was having dinner with them at two different conferences before I started the podcast. And I was telling them about it. And they said, Whitney, that's crazy. Why would you do that? And so I don't usually question this quickly, but considering how much I respected these two people, I thought, well, wait a minute, maybe I should rethink this. And so I talked to my mentor about it. And right away, he was like, no, that's why you have to do it, because it's too much work for most, right? It's why you have to do it. So that motivated me. That got me right back in there. It pushed me to do the daily podcast. I mean, my network scaled very fast, and it still is continually scaling at that pace. But it also pushed me to build teams. It pushed me to hire people. It pushed me to do things and grow in ways that I never imagined. And I overcommitted to the point to where I knew that I couldn't do it all. If I had done a weekly show, I know that I would have tried to have done everything myself, right? I would have done the editing of the audio and the video, and I probably would have got it done, but it would have been half done. I would have been frustrated, probably eventually quit. I knew that I couldn't. So I had to build the team. And since I had the team, I was able to keep it going. Even when I was still working full time and started doing deals, I was traveling numerous weekends a month all over the country to conferences. We were in our third adoption process. It was chaos, to say the least. But having the daily show pushed me in ways and pushed my business, our brand, in ways that I never imagined.
Yeah. I love what you said. It essentially forced you to grow, because you cannot edit every single day's worth of podcasts and do the interviews and book them and reschedule everybody and then do the software and get all the equipment. So I love that, because a lot of people really do try to do everything themselves. They say, well, let me save a couple bucks and do this here. But if you break down your skill set in a dollars per hour method, it makes so much sense to just focus on what you're really good at. And it sounds like for you, that was building those relationships, getting in front of people, networking, and growing and managing the team. And so speaking of that, another thing that you're really, really known for is being able to raise some serious cash very quickly. Again, amounts that most people never really achieve. So tell us about that, your capital raising. You know, is a lot of that come from the podcast? Is a lot of that coming from conferences? Is a lot of it just kind of your own personal network that grew from there? But that's something that most investors who are looking to raise cash, whether it's for apartments or for flips or anything, struggle with. So what's the secret sauce there to raising cash quickly?
we've talked about parts of it, and people think that this is crazy, but I mean, I'm a testimony of this working, of this happening. And it's ultimately having that mission that's bigger than just a monetary goal. I mean, I just truly think that that is one of the biggest reasons. And I'll give you some examples. So you go to a conference, let's say there's 200 people there. I don't care if there's 25 people there at a meetup. Like, you talk to everybody there, you're probably only going to remember one or two people. So something's going to stand out, or either it's like the last person or the first person you talk to. But if you go into that meeting and you say, oh, well, you know, I'm buying apartment buildings, value add, class C, whatever. Well, guess what? That's probably the same thing the other 10 people said to this person just before this. There's nothing different about you. And so I didn't plan it this way. I mean, the Lord gets all the credit for this because I did not plan this. But what I saw happening, I would go to conferences and people say, well, what do you do? You know, I'd say, oh, you know, we have a foundation that helps families adopt children, helps them with that financial burden. And we do that through our commercial real estate business. So we committed half of our profits. Our investors get to make amazing returns, but help us in this goal as well. And let them ask questions. And so that changes that dynamic completely. That conversation, we're not talking about that apartment building or that market, or we can talk about real estate next week when I follow up. Right now, you have to be focused on the relationship. I am always focused on the relationship, but the faster you can build the relationship and the trust level, right, the better. And so now, instead of them asking about the market, the deals, those things, guess what? They're thinking about that and they're thinking, no, wait a minute, tell me that again. You all do what? How does that connect to your investors? I get to share about our children, and I get, and oftentimes, more times than not, they get to share about their kids. And it's a very different conversation, but it's so much more built around building a relationship then and a personal component versus this superficial business real estate level over here that everybody's talking about. And so then when I follow up a week later or the next day, they remember who I am. And it's very, very different then. That is one crucial piece, because that not only affected, like I mentioned earlier, my wife, my kids, all those things, helps them to be on board. It helps my entire team. When I share with them, hey, we got to partner with two more families this week, they're motivated about it. They love being a part of something bigger than just their salary. But then also your investors. There's tons of operators, right? There's tons of great operators. There's tons of great deals that they can find to invest in. So you need to stand out in some way. And that is a big way that we have stood out. They love being a part of something bigger. And I'll give you a couple examples too. Like, what I talk about often is everybody knows about the know, like, trust, right? Everybody's trying to build that know, like, and trust, which is so important. Okay. However, I say there's something that's missing, and that's loyalty. You have to be able to figure out how to build loyalty. And that's something your mission will help you do in a big way. When people are tattooing Harley Davidson on their arm or on their back, that's a loyal customer. They're probably going to have a Harley Davidson the rest of their life. Or Apple, people are standing out sleeping outside the store in the worst weather to get the next phone, when they could go in a week later, 2 weeks later and get it, no problem. Just walk right in. That's loyalty to that brand. And that's what you want to create by having a mission. Investors will wait to invest with you because of that mission. And I just know that is one crucial step. The podcast has obviously played a massive role as well. My network has grown very, very fast. Investors getting to hear my voice every day. There's so much relationship built through that. I get on the phone with them right off the bat the first time, and they're like, Whitney, I feel like I already know you. There's so much value in that that you just can't even put a number on.
Absolutely. And so I love what you said about that know, like, trust, and loyalty. Now, having that standout difference, huge, huge proponent for that loyalty, and then the like and the trust. But take it a step back for us, you know, building that initial kind of audience of investors so that you even have the opportunity to share that story. Because a lot of people who are kind of scratching their heads, maybe they don't have the friends and family network to go to. Maybe they have this great mission, but they really just are struggling to get that mission in front of people. And we have some operators that do talk about building a platform. So for guys like you and me, okay, podcasting, or some do videos or some blog. Sounds like the podcast, of course, networking, of course. What are some other ways that you just kind of get in front of newer investors so that you can have the opportunity to share that story and, of course, impact more lives?
Yeah, it's a great question. And early on, it's difficult. Oftentimes, people don't want to put themselves out there. It's that fear of, what are other people going to think? Those two guys you were in high school with, your gals, you're worried about what they're going to think about you when they hear you started a podcast. Well, who cares? Are they where you want to be 5 years from now? Probably not. And so it doesn't matter what they think, honestly. You have to be willing to put yourself out there. And podcasting is just an amazing way to do it. Even if you're just like, I can't talk into a mic, I do not want to be in front of a camera, there's other ways to do it. And a couple, or one way specifically that even clients of mine, I'm like, okay, if you just are going to refuse to be in front of a camera or mic, like, still interview people, record the conversation, and write a blog post about it. There are ways to create content where you don't have to be in front of a mic or camera, but if you really want to grow fast, you got to. You're either going to start your own show, even being on other shows, just like I'm doing right now. I mean, I'll be interviewed often 3 to 5 times a week. That starts to help you to scale pretty fast too, reaching other people's networks in a big way. Going to conferences is a great way as well. Early on, I would travel, I mean, no joke, 2 to 3 times a month all over the country. Wow. And that was crucial in the beginning. I refine that now in a big way. I don't travel as much now, but it's crucial. Get yourself out there. Don't be afraid of talking into the mic or being on the camera. If you start a podcast, you're interviewing the experts. So get past the mental block of, well, I don't know enough about that subject yet. I started the syndication show before I had syndicated a deal. Okay. Wow. Think about that. Don't let that hold you back.
I love that because, yes, the podcasting and doing videos and doing, or even interviews, if you just take someone to lunch and pick their brain and then write a blog
about it. That's right. It can be that easy.
Absolutely. And talking to your point about kind of outsourcing things, there's other people, if you just record the audio, you get a freelancer to write the blog for you. So you could build teams around it as well. But it becomes much less stressful, even for me as a producer, when you start to understand, yes, the audience and getting that value is huge, but I get value every single day. Even if the episodes never got published, just me talking, and by association, you pick up a few things from every guest. The next thing you know, you're talking like the expert because you've just spoken with so many and you're talking the talk and then you start walking the walk. And so that really by association, right, is very important and really building that network. Thanks so much for coming on the show. I know we're running out of time here and I don't want to keep you. Listeners, if you haven't already, check out Winnie, lifebridgecapital.com. If you also haven't already, download our free ebook, The Definitive Guide to Building Generational Wealth and Passive Cash Flow Through Multifamily Real Estate. Head to thedefinitiveguidebook.com or click the link in the show notes. If you want to partner with us on a future deal or learn more about these opportunities, either as an active or passive investor, look us up at perpetualwealthcapital.com/partner. Winnie, thanks so much for coming on board. How can listeners get a hold of you if they need to?
Thank you, Justin. It's my pleasure. They can go to lifebridgecapital.com. There's a button in the top right, become an investor. You can sign up right there. Or you can reach out to me personally, Whitney@lifebridgecapital.com. Or you can call or text me, 540-585-4338. We'd love to hear from you.
Whitney, thank you so much for coming on. We'll put all those links in the show notes below as well. So don't feel like you have to write those down. Thank you so much for coming again, Whitney. And thanks to all the listeners. And we'll see you on the next episode.